Yo, what's up, guys? Welcome into Stacking Dubs. Today, we're going to talk about probably the most important piece that the Warriors need to figure out in the offseason, a piece where there are a lot of options and a lot of disagreements about what is truly the best way to build the Warriors' front court. Most specifically, we're going to talk about the Warriors' center position and what I think are their options and what I would do. And again, it's going to depend a lot on what we talked about last video. And that's really just what you're going to do with the biggest chip that you have, in that being the John and the Kuminga sign and trade assets. We talked about how I would like to use that on a wing or a premium guard, something like a Cam Johnson, with the goal being that we just need a two-way player who can be your third scorer, that can catch and shoot and space the floor and just be in that closing lineup. So that being said, the center position sort of in my mind takes a back burner until you figure out what you want to do with that asset and the wing position to really fulfill out that third scorer role. And then the center position starts to take more shape in terms of, you know, what holes you need to fill and how much money you have to spend on a center. Or, as we'll explore today, if you decide to make that big asset, that third scorer, and that is your center. So we'll talk about a few of those players, a few of those options. Just kind of looking a little bit back into the history of the Warriors' center position in recent years. Obviously, they had Andrew Bogut, who was an important piece, definitely not a centerpiece of the early Warriors dynasty. But then the Warriors, other than that, have really been able to get away with not investing too many assets or money into that position. They were, you could say, peak dynasty when they had Kevin Durant, but Zaza Pachulia was the center. In 2022, Kevon Looney was essentially the center and has been the last several years. And then obviously, Draymond Green is the small ball center, and that's why you've been able to get away from having to invest so much in center. But things are changing. Obviously, Dre's a little bit older, and just recently, him and Steve Kerr both agreed that he just can't put that much toll on his body guarding 7'2", 280-pound guys for 30 minutes a game. Just can't hold up that long in the season. He can maybe get away with it a bit in the playoffs, but ultimately, we just need more size just to not only reduce wear and tear on Dre's body, but just to give ourselves more of an inside presence and some size. Also, the Warriors don't have what they did when they had small ball lineups when they were at their peak, and that is big athletic wing players like your Durants, your Iguodalas, your Harrison Barneses, even your Klay Thompsons. You know, we no longer have that. Our wings aren't huge. Jimmy Butler's athletic. Right now, he's our power forward, but you just need more rangy athletic wings if you're going to be able to get away with playing the small ball lineup. And then lastly, the NBA is just going big again. It's once again, it's back to your stars, your Jokic's, your Giannis's, just being unstoppable in the paint. And if you can't stop them with one person, then it's that inside out game to shooters. And it's really just been the most effective offense in the league for the most part. And you even see teams, a lot of these teams like the Thunder, like the Rockets, they're going two bigs, and that really posed a huge problem for the Warriors in the Rockets series. I can only imagine how it would have been facing Chet, Holmgren, and Hartenstein in the Western Conference Finals. I don't think it would have gone very well for us. But those are the reasons why the Warriors need to go get some size and need to get a new center. Really, what your center position is going to be depends very much, like I was saying, on who you get as that first domino to fall. So let's explore what it would be like if that center, and you decide to invest either the Kuminga sign and trade, or you're investing a whole bunch of picks and players, and it would probably have to be Draymond Green in terms of salary matching purposes to get any of these next couple players that I'm going to mention. So just kind of starting at the top of the list with just the best centers you could get, Jaren Jackson Jr., right, from Memphis. It would take a trade. The big challenge here is his salary, and obviously you'd have to give Memphis a whole bunch just to get him as well. But in terms of matching the salary, you're sending out Dre, you're sending out multiple players. But what JJJ brings you is that 3 and D, just being able to space the floor as a center and being able to block shots as a center. And that's what the Warriors need most. It's rim protection and it's spacing out of the center position. It is a unicorn. It is hard to find. JJJ arguably does it the best out of anybody. And I'll back up here by saying, I'm going to mention all these names. I do not think, nor do I really want the Warriors to trade Draymond Green away. He's just, for all the reasons, you can hate him all you want, you can love him all you want, he's going to be part of this team unless something like a Giannis becomes available. So I do not see Draymond moving on. He is just the heartbeat of the team, the leader, and just it would just be a complete re everything if you're going to get rid of Draymond. So I'll just throw that out there. But if you're going to go get JJJ, you'd have to throw Draymond in there, and it could work, but I don't think that's going to happen. Secondly, Miles Turner. Again, I don't see him moving anywhere. He is a free agent after this year, and there has been plenty of talk and speculation about him going to any of the teams like the Lakers, the Warriors. I don't think he's going anywhere with the Pacers going soon, hopefully, into the finals against the Thunder. He's just the prototype non-max shot blocking, spacing big that you're going to get would fit obviously perfectly. Probably going to command near $30 million, if not more. How do the Warriors do that? They would have to clear a lot of cap space. There'd be a lot of hoops and bounds to go through. If you can go get Miles Turner, maybe it'd be a sign and trade where you're sending Kuminga out to get Turner. If you can do that, I like the way that sounds. I don't see why the Pacers would do that. But yeah, that's if you can do that, and you'd probably have to send out a little bit more just to make the contracts work. But I would be down for a Turner for Kuminga swap and some preliminary picks and money heading out elsewhere. Another one, which it's not happening, but the fit is interesting. It'd be with the Kings. It'd be for Domantas Sabonis. Too soft of a player for me. Sure, he shoots threes. I don't think he's truly a spacer. His defense isn't there. Doesn't really block shots, but he's a phenomenal passer and rebounder, which, you would have to send Dre out, so replacing that rebounding and then the playmaking on offense, I could see it. I don't know. I trading Dre for Sabonis and some other stuff, I just don't really see it, and that would just be like crazy. My mind might explode. Let's just say no to Sabonis, but I do think the fit for some reasons, and because Steve Kerr loves passing and playmaking, it'd be an interesting sight to see them swap spots in the Bay Area. Lastly, of like the bigger names, Boston needs to get off some guys, need to get off some salary. Porzingis. I'm out on Porzingis, if nothing else, just for the fact that you don't know how many games you're going to get out of him. At the very best, if he's playing 70, 80 games, yeah, you might get a steal, even though he's still going to be about 30 million, and you got to go through all those hurdles to make that work. But for a guy that's not often available, I will look past the spacing, which is as good as it can be for a center. Great rim protection, great size, very slow perimeter defender. I don't know. I just don't see the Warriors really putting all their eggs in that basket. And with their already aging veterans, you just don't want one more guy that you have to worry about being on the floor. So those are the big fish. The middle fish, which is kind of in his own little tier here on the Bulls, Nikola Vucevic floated the idea a whole bunch during the trade deadline. At one point, I thought, hey, you have to go get Vucevic. Even after the Jimmy Butler trade, I thought, well, this means you have to go get Vucevic because you need some front court spacing. I still agree that he could be a third scorer. I could agree that that front court spacing is huge. It worries me a little bit that even though he shot 40% last year from three, 2 years ago, he shot 29%. And more so, the biggest defect with Vucevic is I don't know if he would end up being in your closing lineups just for defensive purposes. He gives a little bit of rim protection, but he does not hold up well on the perimeter. We see in the playoffs, teams would just attack relentlessly any liability. They would give him the Quinton Post treatment, although he's probably a little bit quicker than Post laterally. Really, I mean, with that Quentin Post bringing it up, you're just getting a little bit better, more experienced version of Post. A better version, not a little bit better, but a better version of Post, the higher scoring version. But defensively, you might just still run into the same problem of just getting your defense collapsed every time. And I don't know if that's the against the right and the wrong matchups. I don't know if you can do that in the playoffs, and he might just get played off the floor. Can that be your essentially big third or fourth piece that you're investing and in making your big splash move for a guy that might not play towards the end of the fourth quarters when you need him most? It's tough. It's tough. I'm not ruling Vooch out. I think it's something that you revisit based on what wings and guards and everything else that you're filling out the roster with, and say maybe you miss on some guys, or you get someone really affordable and fills a lot of these needs, and you get like your DeAnthony Melton's and a couple other two-way players that you already know you can close with, and you say, hey, I still have another $20 million and some assets I could potentially move off of and go get Vucevic. Sure. As a luxury or just as a supplementary piece, great. A little expensive for not being a true two-way player, but if you can make it work, I would do it to get Vooch. But again, I wouldn't prioritize nor make that the first move that I make and have to scramble from there. So that leaves us with lower tier, cheaper options, which I personally think is the way that the Warriors should go here. Like I said, invest that money, go get yourself a better perimeter type player, two-way player, and then based on how the roster's looking, based on the money, now you have five options that I'm just going to throw at you today. Five options that could be pretty affordable, that fill a few holes, and maybe you can even add two of these guys depending on how it shapes up. And then now, instead of basically every one of these players having one significant flaw in their game, you get a couple of them, and now maybe you can kind of play different matchups and fill one hole, sort of like the Warriors like to do with their wings with Buddy Hield and GP2. They each have obviously their flaws on one side of the ball, but you pair them together, and now you have one solid supplementary player that kind of complement each other pretty well. Okay, so let's see. I'm trying to think what order I want to go in here. I'm gonna go in order of, I guess, who I'll say ones I like the most for the end here. So, first off, Steven Adams. I like Steven Adams. He was great against us. He gives us much needed size, much needed rebounding, much needed toughness. One of my favorite players in the NBA, and just probably the strongest, just ox of a guy. You're going to be getting an 11 rebound player, depending how many minutes you're playing him. Five of those are going to be offensive rebounds. This year, he only scored about 4 points per game, but generally, he was like an 8 to 10 point scorer. And I think you can chalk him up for about 7, 8 points when he's playing enough minutes. Decent passer, couple assists per game, gives you about a block per game, kind of consistently throughout his career. He's a free agent. Really just depends on how much money you'd be willing to give him. I w couldn't pay him more than 10 million. If you're able to get him at, like a $5 million mid-level exception, maybe go up closer to 10. Again, if it fits right and you have plenty of spacing, the thought of him just basically being dead space on the floor on offense until it's an offensive rebound, which is valuable, but the thought of him, Draymond, Jimmy Butler being on the floor together is not possible. He could work with one or the other there. But for all the reasons that you say you can't play Looney with Draymond or with Jimmy Butler at the same time, Steven Adams is even more because he is really just parked under the hoop. He isn't able to play in that pick and roll as a roller. And Looney was good enough to be a little short roller and find an open guy if it was just a pretty obvious pass. Adams not the best finisher off the dribble, off the cut either. He's just kind of more of a stationary offensive player, but he does give you a lot more defensively. And again, just that size and the ability to hold up when you're in a matchup against like a Jokic, a Giannis, just the big bodied guys. Those probably aren't even the best examples because they're just so dynamic as well. But just the bigger centers like a Şengün Right, just someone who just needs some size, like it's a bonus, just kind of keep them out of the paint. That's where Adams would be good. I don't know if it's quite the best fit, but character-wise and just from a winning pedigree, I do like Adams. Speaking of winning pedigree, this is an interesting one, and I don't think he'll be available because he seems to be a lifer where he's at, but he is a free agent. He's 38 years old. The Al Horford. Let that sink in for a second because it's just weird to think about, but Horford really is that like Swiss Army knife that he doesn't do anything great, but he just does everything decently. And I think that's sort of the direction that the Warriors are hopeful to go, just someone that can do a little bit of everything, hold their own in different matchups and be a versatile player. Horford these days, about like a 9, 10 point scorer, 6 rebounds. He's not the best rebounder for a center, but he's decent. He's a good passer. You can, I think it was only 2 assists this past year, but you can chalk him up for closer to 3 assists, as of a last few years. So, very good passer and can live on the perimeter. He can space the floor, right? We know he shoots threes, a 36% shooter, and just lives out there, gives you the spacing, and that's probably the most important trait that he'll bring as spacing and being able to pass from that perimeter. And then he can block a shot as well. So on defense, he can stay in front of guys better than most of these slow-footed ones that we're going to talk about. And then obviously, he's a little bit of a rim presence. Again, nothing elite, nothing spectacular, just kind of all around solid. 38 years old, his field goal percentage really dropped off. I think he's like typically close to like a 49-50% guy for his career, and this last year was like 42%. So you worry about a huge drop off, and in the new system, who knows how it would go? Although I think he would fit the Warrior system pretty well. So if you can get him cheap enough, I would definitely be happy to get him now. Horford. But again, I don't think the Celtics are really going to be parting with him unless they really are just rebuilding and shuffling everything around. So just a name to keep an eye on. Sticking with the old guys for now because you're hoping just to get good value, right? If these are the guys that you're kind of just hoping to sign a free agent contract with for cheap, again, like under like $10 million so you can make it work, then we'll have to live with it, flaws and all. Old guy, 37 years old. We've heard this name. I think I mentioned it last time. We'll see what he has left. But Brook Lopez, 7'1", mountain of a man. They call him Splash Mountain. He moves about as quick as a mountain, but 13-point scorer. He's probably the best scorer of this kind of cheaper group of guys. 37% from three. Very good 3-point shooter. Gives you plenty of spacing to sitting in that corner there on offense. Not the best rebounder at his size. He's like a 5, 5.5 rebound type guy, but he's a decent passer. Knows the game. Obviously, he's experienced. He's not gonna be playmaking, but he knows where to go with the ball. And he's been about like a couple, almost a couple assist guy. Most importantly, defensively, he is a great rim protector, about 2 blocks per game. He is not a great lateral move your feet, stay in front of a ball handler defender. But it's hard for me to say. I haven't watched him enough to really tell you. I tend to think he's just very slow and he's going to get torched. But he was the top three, top two runner up for Defensive Player of the Year just a couple years ago. And I have to think if that's the case, you can at least hold your own on the perimeter. Although Rudy Gobert doesn't always, and somehow he's a four-time Defensive Player of the Year. But point being, Brook Lopez has some traits that you can live with that flaw of his perimeter defense. You could the spacing, he's like a Miles Turner light in terms of being able to shoot, being able to block, and then obviously just being a veteran. I think he's a Bay Area guy. He went to Stanford, but I think they grew up in the Bay. So yeah, if you can get him cheap, I like that as well. And that's kind of the three free agent options I like of the older guys. On to the two that I think make the most sense in terms of value and fit for the Warriors. And I'm going to tell you these two, knowing that I would actually want both of them because they each have a big flaw, but they would each complement that flaw together. I don't know if it works to get them both. But first off, Santi Aldama on the Grizzlies, restricted free agent. He's only 25 years old. He is a shooter, right? He's slender build, but averaged 12 points. Good rebounder. He's 6'11", but again, being very slender, and he's kind of more like a perimeter type guy. He's often guarding, like wings, guards sometimes, and then on offense, he's just sitting on the perimeter, but that's why we like his spacing. But that being said, six rebounds is pretty good for that role. And he's how many assists he had, but he's a pretty good passer too. You're gonna get a little creation out of him. You're gonna get a couple assists per game. 37% 3-point shooter, and that's on immediate catch and shoot, no hesitation. Anytime he's open, it's going up. Gives you a very good offensive presence. Can move his feet on defense. He's young, he's spry. Doesn't give you much at the rim defensively, and that's really where his biggest flaw is that he's more of a power forward, if that. He's not a true center. Even though he's 6'11" and just kind of tall, he must be like 230 pounds, maybe not even. Like, I think I saw him at like 227. You're not asking him to guard the guys even that you ask Kevon Looney to guard, right? At 6'9", Looney's able to push guys around a lot better and hold his own than like an Aldama would. 2 inches taller. So you're not really giving yourself much in terms of size with Aldama. You cure the spacing out of your front court, and he would unlock a lot of lineups, which is why I like him in there. And he'd be a great, like, eighth, ninth guy off the bench. But you're going to still need to get another center. You're going to need more size. And for that reason, the last guy I like is Goga Bitadze on the Orlando Magic. He's not a free agent. He still has, I think, two or three more years with the Magic, but he is stuck down on the depth chart behind a couple guys like Wendell Carter, one of the Wagners. Who else am I missing? They have so much size there that he's not getting the minutes that he probably should. And the best way I could describe him is that he's like a 6'11", just slightly better at everything version of Kevon Looney. Maybe other than like rebounding, although he's a good rebounder too. Last year, 7 points, 6.5 rebounds, 2 assists. Not a bad passer for a big. Pretty much lives in pick and roll, rolling action. And out of that, just decent passer. He's not an elite, vision and playmaker type guy, but it showed he's capable. And 1.4 blocks. That's where you're really going to get that extra above and beyond what Looney gives you. He can be that big body just to take big matchups, can give you enough on offense, can finish at the hoop, and can dunk a little bit better than Kevon Looney, just the easy finish, at least make the easy finishes, right? I've lived half my life watching Zaza Pachulia and Kevon Looney miss layups. But yeah, Bitadze seems to be a decent finisher. I think he's like a 61% field goal percentage guy, and just that rim presence on defense and just the big body. And he can move his feet a bit too. He's not just a cone on defense. I think if you can get something like that and you just plug him into that Looney role and put him in for 18 to 22 minutes a game, gives Dre a little rest. You can even put him next to Dre or Jimmy, obviously not both of them at the same time, but that's what like an Adama or a stretch big would be for. Maybe Quinton Post comes along a bit, but we'll worry about that with the combinations. But Bitadze at 8 million, you've got some options there. We're not really going to talk about too much about all the different things that the Warriors could send out. We already know what the Warriors' pieces are in terms of contracts, that being like Moody, Buddy Hield are kind of both in that like 10 million-ish range. You have picks, you have a trade exception. I guess you could just trade that $8 million trade exception from Kyle Anderson and package a pick for Bitadze. It's called a second round pick or so, and that's a big upgrade. I think it would mean you're letting Looney walk, and as much as I love Loondog, it might be time, but that's something that you have to figure out because you can't have too much depth at center, especially these days with the Warriors. And you don't know who's going to show up from year to year. So give yourself an extra center for once rather than just chasing a second rounder and hoping he pans out. And even if he does, your center position still isn't productive enough. Let's have three viable centers with a fourth just upside center and or big. And hey, from there, two or three of them end up showing up in the season, and it's just something that you don't have to worry about being too small. So again, that all comes down to spacing as well. It's just hard. Like I'm saying, guys, every single one of these guys has a flaw. You're not really going to get the whole package in any one of them unless you're willing to move up or move off of Dre, or you're wasting your big, or you're using your big Kuminga asset and picks to make it happen. And then if that's the case, to go chase like the first guys we talked about, like your all-star level, you're also having to get rid of shooting in Buddy and Moody just to match salaries. So what are you really even accomplishing? Remains to be seen. I'm glad I'm not Mike Dunleavy, but I sure do wear the hat and attempt to be. That all being said, I'd like to hear your guys' thoughts on center because there's a lot of different ideas. I'm sure there's plenty of players that I'm not even thinking of right now. And there's guys that have a lot to bring on good contracts. So throw it in the chat. Let's discuss. I'm always happy to more input. I'm sorry if I like centers that you don't, or there's other ones that you think that I don't like. We can't agree on everything, but we can do the best we can. And the Warriors, I'm confident we'll get at least one of these guys, if not multiple, to fit after they get a Cam Johnson or an Andrew Wiggins or a Derek White. Someone we talked about last video. All right. Hope you enjoyed my little center breakdown. For me, that's the blueprint here. Work backwards, figure out your first piece to fall, that third score, and then shape the back end of that roster, which will probably be your bigs, and make it all work en route to a fifth ring. All right. Thanks, guys. Have a good one. I'll talk to you next time. Don't forget to like, follow, comment, share. I've been Chris Chin. Peace, love, and stacking dubs.